Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for Stars Move Because Stars Don't. No, I'm just kidding.
Keep an eye out. I don't know. Brad Alberts just tweeted out some eyeballs.
Keep an eye out on that. But it's Cowboys win because, Cowboys lose because, 877-881-1053.
Is Ricky Scoops, is he on fire right now? No? Ricky Scoops says the Niners have been calling about Bradley Chubb.
And or, probably 14 other teams.
Or Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah. I don't know how bold of a...
Dude, the Niners take him out of... That's another play that somebody you could get out of your team.
I agree.
And Niners are driving the price up.
Don't you think most everyone is calling to check on Bradley Chubb?
I don't want the Niners to, though.
Okay.
I hate the Niners.
Okay.
Do you not understand that? Did you not live in the 90s whenever we had to deal with that all the time?
All right.
Have you not lived through these George Kittle games where he has a shirt on that says F Dallas?
Let me ask you this. Would you rather the 49ers trade a fourth-round pick for Bradley Chubb or the Cowboys trade a first-round pick for Bradley Chubb?
I would rather the Niners trade a first-round pick.
No, that is not the deal you were offered.
Trade of third.
It's a sexy pick.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
Appreciate you having that conversation with me.
We're not doing a tie anymore, but the Cowboys win because the offense scores more than 40 points. The Cowboys... lose because the Cowboys defense gives up more than 40 points, and the Cowboys tie because both teams score 40 points. You can tie at a different score.
Derek Holland texted us, Kevin. Cowboys win because offense can put up numbers and points, especially when playing crappy teams.
Ooh, will you tell him to text me back if he set up that lunch date already?
Cowboys lose because the defense is garbage and can't stop anything.
Okay.
Especially playing bad teams, they make them look like Super Bowl contenders.
I mean...
He said, I have to listen on the app now.
It's tough to argue with that. From the 3-2-5, Cowboys win because Ferguson and Pickens and Javonte Williams all go off. Well, that would make a lot of folks happy listening. Well, I don't want to phrase it like this. How many offensive players can have an amazing game? Because I was about to phrase it a different way that I know would come back to haunt me. How many offensive players on the same team can all have an amazing game?
I think five.
Okay, so
Dak.
Okay,
and four other people.
Okay, is it CeeDee, Ferguson, Pickens, and Javonte?
All of them.
Okay.
Now, granted, listen, I'm not trying to say that Arizona is just an easy team to beat.
Right.
They don't have a lot of wins because they aren't good enough to close out games.
That's true.
Their defense. Is not going to be the Cowboys defense is porous. The Bengals defense is porous. Those are really bad defenses. The Cowboys offense can put up numbers against this defense though. I mean, that's absolutely a possibility that everybody can have a pretty good game for the Cowboys offense.
And then somebody said, well, to be fair, Kevin, 100% of the time they score 40, they tie. Actually untrue. Remember they scored 40 against the Giants and needed that miracle kick at the end of regulation to win in overtime, which is really, really sad. All right, question for you guys. Are you more confident or less confident the Cowboys win tonight with Jacoby Brissett? Like, would you have rather it have been Kyler Murray out there?
I honestly don't I think Jacoby Brissett is a fine backup quarterback. I think Kyler Murray is a average NFL quarterback on any given night.
Okay.
Like he can have nights where you're like, that was the most electric thing I've ever seen. And then other nights you're like, did he play? He didn't make an impact in the game. But Jacoby Brissett just kind of gives you that, you're probably going to get this out of him. We don't have the pass rush, Kevin, in my mind, to make him look really bad. And so,
oh sure,
that's why. Like, I'm not in a place where I can pick and choose between quarterbacks because the Cowboys' defense isn't good enough, I don't think, against any quarterbacks at the moment.
From the 817, Cowboys win because CeeDee Lamb has 200 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns. Cowboys lose because Kyler comes out to start the second half and dominates because he doesn't ever lose at AT&T Stadium.
Dude, that was my Cowboys lose because Kyler Murray steps in and says, I got this, guys. Don't worry about it. I know I've been injured, but here we go. I am well enough against this team.
Now, I'm going Cowboys win because George Pickens moves the chains. I saw a stat that said all 17 of his third and fourth down receptions have been converted into first downs.
Okay.
And so when he catches the ball on third or fourth down, it's in the place that you want it to be. And if George Pickens can continue to move the chains tonight, I say that is why the Cowboys win.
Do you think that balance between those two receivers is something that's going to be a balance thing, or on a given night it's going to be, oh, CeeDee's getting his targets, George Pickens is making big plays?
See, and I think...
because CeeDee got targets and also made a big play last time.
He did. I wonder if, and I think this has been a strategy, if you ever see a double team consistently on one specific receiver, which leads the other receiver single coverage. I think Dak wants that matchup every single time.
Yes.
And if it's like, if you get to the point where it's a double on Pickens and single on CeeDee Lamb, then I think he's just going to go right there.
And then
there,
if you decide you're going to do some things to bracket both receivers, that's when Ferguson goes on.
Yes, exactly.
And then whenever you say, you know what, we're just not letting anybody buy us, that's when Javonte says, no stacked box? Good for me, boys. Like, this offense, that's one of the things, the benefits. And I think Schottenheimer does a good job making sure they're prepared for that.
And look, this is a real thing. This offense is freaking crazy at home. Their home games, 40, 40, and 44. They have not scored fewer than 40 points at home so far this year.
Wow. Well, one of them was a pick six, so that was 38.
Your team has scored 40 points at least.
I'm just making sure we get the facts, ma'am. Okay. I want you to look good, Kevin. Please
call me ma'am. All right. Alec, do you have a Cowboys win because?
I do. The Cowboys win because, and it kind of goes to what you were just talking about, I think some of the home magic at AT&T Stadium comes back, but specifically in the form of a Jake Ferguson game.
Ooh.
He will find the end zone at least once if the Cowboys win this game, because I do think that's going to be an area of the Cardinals defense that you can exploit. What's Dak's favorite pass in all of his time playing professional football? The seam to the tight end. And I think that's where their defense could be vulnerable. Anything over the middle, you could try to pick on them a little bit, especially in a condensed field. Once you get near or inside the red zone, I think anything over the middle to Jake Ferguson might be tempting. And I think the home magic offensively comes back in the form of a Jake Ferguson big game for number 87.
From the 214, the Cowboys will win because they will simply outswag the Cardinals.
I love outswag.
And then the Cowboys lose because Jerry Jones is too worried about natural gas and oil instead of the defense.
Is that
point?
Jerry Jones, the GM, not Jerry Jones, the owner. The owner can do things.
Do you think we should ask if Jerry, the owner, should fire Jerry, the GM?
Have we never asked that before?
Like 8 million times.
What was his answer?
He's like, I made a decision when I bought this team. I'm never going to have somebody else in charge.
I don't like that answer. Ask him again.
Okay.
I guess.
We did.
Yeah.
We've asked him numerous times.
What does he say?
He always says a variation of that answer. I'm never going to fire myself. I want this to be a family business.
But I do want the GM to not be focusing on oil things.
True.
The owner, as he said, I don't know anybody in this business that doesn't. You're talking about GMs. You would be all over a GM if he didn't focus 100% on this.
Yes.
Kevin, my Cowboys win because I know that the Cardinals have given up the fourth fewest rushing yards this year at 4.2 yards per carry. I know that they've only given up 7 rushing touchdowns. But tonight, Javonte Williams has 150 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns.
Okay. That would be awesome. Securing
my fantasy football situation in a very good spot. I'm hoping the Cowboys' offensive line is like, you know what? We're going to punish these guys. Calais Campbell, you're an old man. We're running over you tonight.
This has been my favorite ongoing text all season from the 214. The Cowboys win because, for real this time, Jonathan Mingo has his breakout game with 4 catches for 26 yards. And the Cowboys lose.
Did they really say for real this time?
Yes, they did. It says for real this time. And Cowboys lose because Jaden Blue fumbles again.
That is kind of scary.
They have been committed to Jonathan Mingo, and then his breakout game would be that many catches for that many yards, I think is freaking amazing.
If Jaden Blue was to fumble tonight in a big situation,
you're going to lose.
Would you ever trust him again?
No, and I don't trust him now.
It's going to take a lot for you to be able to trust him.
I have no interest right now. And I heard what Mickey said. Maybe you can get him the ball in some space. You add some speed. And I hear you on that. There is no scenario in which this is a competitive game that I think Jaden Blue should be. Actually, short of injury.
Right. Please don't.
Yeah. There is no healthy Javonte Williams scenario in which I think Jaden Blue should be out there in a competitive game. None.
He's the only other option, too.
Exactly.
I guess Lipke. You'd rather have Lipke?
Yes, I would. Because I think they get about the same amount of yardage carrying the ball. And also, I feel more confident with him to block and not fumble.
I know what they want from Jaden Blue.
I get it.
Like, you want the HN, the ability to turn upfield and go.
I get it. Put him out there if you fall behind 17 to nothing. Then that's fine. Let's see what he can do in space. If it is, 34-31 down the stretch or earlier in the game, it's 21-17, no interest.
Or whatever play it is, get him to the sideline and say, if somebody gets within 5 yards, you step out of bounds.
Yes.
Do not take contact.
So that actually kind of is the framing for my Cowboys potentially lose because Arizona slows down the run game. Here are the magic numbers that you need to know. In the 3 wins for the Cowboys, they've run for 135, 180, and 152 yards.
Okay.
So you see the pattern there. In all the games they've lost, the most rushing yards they've ever had is 121. So it looks like the magic number there is kind of that 125, 130 threshold as a team that you need to get to. And if you get slowed down on the running game, you're going to lose.
You know that Schottenheimer's committed to it.
Yeah,
Clayton Adams is definitely committed to it. And, one of the things that he has is he has some familiarity with this team. I think what Mickey said was the right thing. When it comes to familiarity, personnel knowledge is important. Well, I know that defensive end right there can't get to this edge.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to pound that edge the entire time. Well, I know that this safety can't get to this mark. So if we can get to that second level on this, like those are the things that knowing the personnel is very beneficial. Their scheme could be different enough. Like that could be the different factor. But I think that Clayton Adams and Brian Schottenheimer are going to put a plan together to put the Cowboys in a really good position with their run game tonight, even though Arizona is really good at stopping the run.
Alec, you got a Cowboys lose because?
Cowboys,
I saw this one. It says Jaden Blue is 10.45 times your money if he fumbles the ball.
What?
You don't want to bet that,
I
right?
I don't, but I just, a good value is a good value.
Yeah, you take a good deal wherever you can get it, Corey.
All right, Alec, you talk. I got to look something up.
What are you doing right now?
It's unrelated.
What are you doing right now?
He's looking offshore right now.
It's unrelated on my phone.
Cowboys lose because at halftime, the teams are running back out the tunnel. The Cowboys are leading after half. And then you hear Kyler Murray's music hit like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, no.
They make the quarterback change at halftime.
Oh, no.
And they were that's playing the coy the whole time. And I know people have talked about this theory, but I think that's real. You go in with a game plan against a quarterback. You execute that game plan and you think, okay, we're good. At halftime, you're probably not saying, let's get ready for the franchise quarterback to come in after not starting the game. You're probably just telling your team, hey, we're doing good right now. We're winning. Let's keep doing what we're doing. And Kyler Murray, I didn't know if you guys know this, a lot better than Jacoby Brissett, a lot more athletic.
Especially in this stadium.
Exactly. And like, I know I don't put too much stock into that, but there is like a confidence thing that I feel like does exist where he's like, I own this place.
Yeah.
You know, I got the second half. Give me the ball. We're going to be okay. And I think the element of athleticism that he adds is more than enough to throw the Cowboys defense for a loop. And the scrambles, the off schedule plays, they're going to be like, we haven't seen this the entire first half. We didn't see any of
that. 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This, why is this happening now? Because Kyler Murray played.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the It's Definitely Not Tuesday tailgate, a monumental weekend for SMU. Shorty Shorts and another pair of unbeatens go down. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
SMU on the verge of history. Harden, trick or treat, Dallas. SMU wins.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're about to do the It's Not Tuesday tailgate in just a second, but Corey, our old stomping ground star local media, has brought us more information about the happenings at Salina.
Okay.
They're not great. So you remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about how the football coach had been put on non-disciplinary administrative leave because his son was being accused of videotaping in the middle school locker room. Now, Salina has announced that their wrestling coach has been placed on leave as the district investigates past allegations when he was in Melissa ISD, which feels damning for a whole nother set of reasons. Did you not investigate this issue? And instead, you brought him over to the school in Salina that has now placed him on leave while they're also one of their former assistant football coaches is on leave for allegedly videotaping in the middle school boys' locker room. And his dad is the head football coach.
Is the other one the one? Was he arrested and placed on leave for in the same month for allegedly teaching while intoxicated? Is that the.
I don't know the specifics of that one.
All right. Man, this is another teacher at Jerry and Linda Moore Middle School. My apologies.
So,
wow.
Yikes.
What's going on here?
If you got a kid in Salina or you have any more information, please let us know. But it feels pretty terrible right now. All right, let's move into the It's Definitely Not Tuesday tailgate and let's start.
Yeah, it's Monday.
That's true.
So you
I'm
know
so
what
confused.
The, you know what the rules are, Kevin? It's the Monday mailgate.
Okay. All right, Monday mailgate.
That's how this works.
No women allowed.
Okay.
On Housewife Day.
That's right.
This
is a man's fence door right
sorry,
now.
Sorry, ladies.
Feels offensive. So SMU, a huge weekend for them. First off, They signed Rhett Lashley to another contract extension, 7-year deal that's set to make him among the highest 10 paid coaches in college football, which seems pretty awesome. And then they follow up. We just played the highlight. Their first home win over a team ranked in the AP top 10 since 1974. 51 years. And I do believe, does this still keep them undefeated all time in conference?
No, they lost last week at Wake Forest.
Which, son of a gun.
Look, SMU is now in a tie in the ACC standings for second place. Virginia's still undefeated in conference, even though one of Virginia's only loss was to North Carolina State, a ACC team. That did not count as a conference game, because why would it? Why would college football make any
because
sense?
Because that's when they said mathematically they couldn't figure out how to make that happen. But this felt like, in all seriousness, this feels like a huge weekend for SMU, who continues to either keep their spot or maybe move up their spot in the hierarchy of college football.
And on the Rhett Lashley front, this is great for them. This will keep him at the Hilltop for a long time to come, we hope. And SMU said, we're not going to let money be the reason that you leave. Like, SMU's, they're not taking any money from the ACC because they have so much, their boosters have so much money, they can basically compete with any of the big boys now. And they showed that here by extending Lashley, making him a top 10 paid head coach in the sport, which is great. But yeah, to do this against Miami, who is a team that, even though they lost to Louisville, was still viewed as the best team in the ACC, one that should go along. They found themselves in the perfect spot to take advantage of all those Miami mistakes that they love to make, especially at the, you know, when the calendar turns to November. Miami under Mario Cristobal, just, they're awful in this month.
Probably didn't help afterwards that Carson Beck's like, hey, I just run plays that are called.
Yeah.
It really seems like he did not want responsibility for some of those mistakes.
No, and this isn't the first time he's been in a little hot water talking about the play calling or his receivers. He got into that after the Louisville game. And look, this is already a failure of a season for Miami. They could still technically make the CFP if they're 10-2, and because they'll have the win over Notre Dame, over potentially South Florida, the potential Group of Five team in the playoff. But you should win the ACC. You've allowed the least points in conference play in the ACC, and you've barely scored over 100. Like, there's so much meat left on the bone yet again with Miami, and good on SMU for being the one to take advantage of that.
Now, I know the game that you want to talk about, Corey, give me a highlight. Cut number 15. Another couple of undefeated teams went down, one at the hands of the Mean Green.
Red zone drive number 50 on the season. UNT leads the nation, and that's a touchdown. Caleb Hawkins, Mean Green on the board.
I love me some Caleb Hawkins, dude.
33 carries, 197 yards. It's a season best for him. Now, they were favored, but this still feels like a big-time win for UNT.
Yeah, because they not only were they favored, they beat the projection. They were favored by, I think, a touchdown. They won by two.
They
raced out to a 21-3 lead, got a couple picks off of Navy in the second half to just continue to keep them at bay, to keep them ahead by a good amount. And, yeah, they move back into a tie for first place in the American. We just talked, the ACC has this big, you know, mess of teams with one conference loss.
Right.
The American Conference is the same way, because you've got Memphis, who knocked off South Florida a couple weeks ago. You've got South Florida, and now UNT is part of that mix too. So the good thing for the Mean Green is their final three teams they play are all in the bottom half of the American standings. So theoretically, it's an easier schedule. They don't play Memphis, they don't play Eastern Carolina, and they don't play Tulane. So a lot of those teams do play each other. So it's setting up really nicely for UNT to potentially make the American Championship game. And if things even go their way, host that game. That game could be in Denton, because the American doesn't play a neutral site game. They play it on campus.
Yeah, and maybe they can hold whoever that opponent is to 80 passing yards.
That, I mean, feels like you're going to win.
Yeah.
Unless you were playing the Service Academies back in the day.
They gave up 311 rushing yards, but even still.
Yeah, this was a vintage triple option game for Navy, because they had a game earlier this year where their quarterback, Blake Horvath, passed for like 300-plus yards.
Right.
It was bizarre to see, but much more like we're used to seeing from a Service Academy. And credit to UNT, those are not easy games to play. Nick Harris, we had on Fan University on Saturday, said it's death by 1,000 cuts.
Yeah.
And UNT survived it.
Now, UNT wins, so Navy goes down. Georgia Tech also went down at the hands of NC State. Does that now leave us with four FBS undefeated teams? Do I have that right?
Yes, it's four.
It's Ohio State, Indiana, A&M, and BYU.
Yep, those are the only four.
Okay. Wow.
How's A&M going to do it?
If A&M stays undefeated, I will just be the happiest person in the world. I really will. For BYU, I know they're undefeated. Where do you think realistically they should be in the standings? Do you think they fit right at 8, higher, lower?
I'd put them at 8.
Okay.
I think that is a good spot for them. They're being disrespected. I mean, they've gone on the road as an underdog at Iowa State and beat them by 2 scores. They've beaten Utah,
Utah looks good.
Yes, they do. They're clearly the third best team, and it's going to take some things to break for them to end up making the Big 12 championship game, but that's why you play the games on the field, right? So, no, BYU is a really good team, and so is Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech is more talented, but BYU, this is the second year in a row they've started out 8-0. So, like, these players that are still here from last year, and Kalani Sitake, BYU's head coach, has done an awesome job of moving them to the Big 12 and having them be immediately competitive in it. So, look, BYU just, they know how to win, and that's something they've shown year over year, and it's hard not to be impressed by it.
Now, I'm going to go to the Oklahoma-Tennessee game. Specifically, go ahead and give me cut number 13. And this is while Oklahoma is lining up for a field goal. There was a lot more, but they talk about this off and on over the span of like a minute and 15 seconds. So we just kind of boiled it down to this part right here.
The shortest I've ever seen in a football field.
Should be, right? Bill, that should be a penalty. Just dressing like that should be a penalty. What the hell is it? Wearing shorts out there?
What the hell is it wearing shorts out there? Now, y'all have talked about for, I feel like, 3 weeks now, the shorts getting shorter. These are...
I don't get it.
These are shorty shorts that he went out there in. What did you say his nickname is?
The nickname for Tate Sandell, OU's kicker going around, who made 3 50-plus yard field goals in this game, is Daisy Nukes instead of Daisy Dukes.
Nice!
That is a tremendous nickname.
Kicking nukes,
that
dude.
Sounds like an NIL deal waiting to happen.
These are not shorts.
They're shorty shorts.
These are sliders. These are what you wear under your baseball pants. All right.
Okay.
This is what's to protect your butt from strawberries whenever you slide. Mm-hmm. These are the tiniest shorts a football player has ever worn.
I mean, I think you're probably right.
But Florida was the first one this year that I noticed, and I was pointed to Adrian on Saturday. I was like, look at these shorts. And she was like, what's happening? Are they practicing right now? And I was like, no, this is a real game. Those dudes, like, what happens if you fall on your knees? You're getting scraped up knees, Carter. That's what happens.
That's why you make every field goal that you kick when your shorts are that short. That's why you just nail every 53, 54, 55 yarder, and you don't have to worry about it.
So, just devil's advocate, if the kid doesn't care about his own, I guess, safety, do you have an issue with it?
Kevin, is this the CTE situation? They don't care. Should I care?
Yeah.
I didn't really notice it until Corey brought it up, me personally, so I guess I don't.
And Atolo brought it up to me at one of the Bearded Monkey events, and I had noticed it, but I just was like, eh. And then when he...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It was like, hey, what is this? I was like, okay, this is two people now, me and him, and now more of America is starting to understand.
We're the trendsetters. Now, Oklahoma gets a huge win. Texas gets a huge win as well. Those two teams have the most upward mobility this week, and now they're up to 11 and 13, respectively. I know Vanderbilt made a late comeback attempt in vain, but Texas gets the victory. That is 3 straight key victories for them, all of which were really, really close. You had the 3-point win over Kentucky in overtime, 7-point over Mississippi State in overtime. Now you get another 3-point win over Vanderbilt. You told me going into this game, you had a sneaky suspicion that this was a game that Texas was going to win. Why is it? And did it play out how you thought?
I think it did because I look back to last week when they beat Mississippi State and they should have lost by 20 points, right? But Texas has learned how to win over the last couple of years with Sark. And I think that went into this game too, where Vanderbilt is in this position for the first time in basically, you know, anyone who's listening's lifetimes, right? Since the 40s.
Yeah.
So they're still learning how to go on the road, how to play these other big time SEC schools with the all of the blue chip talent, right? And they came out unprepared. Maybe the weather had a little bit to do with it. It was a dreary, colder day in Austin, but Texas just came in looking prepared. And I think that's credit to Sark, and that's credit to the team, the players who have been there, who've been to the playoff, who've been to SEC championship games, Big 12 championship games, and that helped them end up getting this win. I know it kind of got hairy there at the end, but Texas got up enough that that didn't end up mattering.
So I know there's a week off before it actually goes down, so we're looking at November 15th, but how huge is that Texas and Georgia game going to be then?
It's massive because both those teams have only one conference loss. And Texas isn't out of the race for the SEC championship game. If they win out, they're going to sit there
with... Especially because they still play A&M and they can take that tie break and everything like that.
Exactly. So it's huge for them. And it's in Athens. And Georgia's just been able to grind all the teams they play at home, except for Alabama, because they just can't seem to figure out the Alabama curse. They grind everyone else just to dust. And it's going to be a really, really fun game that got announced as the night game for the 15th. So that's going to be under the bright light, or, you know, under the lights in the evening on that day. But it's going to be huge, and it's probably an eliminator game for the SEC championship game at least, but not probably for the playoff.
One of the losses that Texas has, you go back to Ohio State, and I guess this just kind of surprises me. Julian Sain now being the favorite or among the favorites for Heisman Trophy in a year where we continue to ask who is going to actually win this award, because not that Diego Pavia is definitely out, but every time we find a new favorite or new flavor of the week, it feels like they have a tough follow-up game.
Yeah, and both Indiana just beats teams by 50.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, that's boring to us when Indiana's never done that before.
So yeah, like, and
Fernando Mendoza is the same thing, right? Yeah. Just thinking about the top two Big Ten teams and their quarterbacks, but Ohio State launched their websites for the campaigns for Sain and Jeremiah Smith as well. And yeah, I mean, he's the quarterback of the number one team in the country. He's starting in his first season and he looks like a wily veteran. And I know he has all the talent around him, but he's made use of all that talent to get Ohio State to this position where everyone pretty much agrees they're the favorite to repeat right now.
How disappointing is it that Penn State fell off the map so hard, because you just had Penn State, Ohio State, and it would have been followed up by Penn State and Indiana. And it looks like if you just go back several weeks, like, oh man, this is going to be a massive set of eliminator games. And instead they're just like, meh.
I mean, at the beginning of the season, November 1st was supposed to be the best day because it was Ohio State, Penn State. It was OU, Tennessee ended up being a ranked matchup, but there, I think they were both ranked even higher than that. Arizona State, Iowa State was supposed to be this big game. And then that was, you know, ended up being two unranked teams. So very disappointing, and that's just been the name of the game for Penn State this entire season. And they kept it close for a little bit. It wasn't, you know, a blowout by halftime, but they just, again, they stayed close and kind of fell off, and Ohio State just imposed their will because that's what this Buckeyes team does.
That Texas game was the closest game Ohio State's had all year. The 14-7, everything else since then, just the next game was 70-0. It was Grambling state.
Yeah, I was going to say, because their next couple opponents.
Yeah, but in the last four games, do you see anything that stands in their way at all? And I mean, aside from Michigan,
because that's
they haven't
still
beat Michigan in, I can't remember whatever the sign said at WrestleMania. It's been like 1,000 days
since COVID.
Yeah, I just thought it was so funny that somebody had a sign at WrestleMania that said Ohio State hasn't beat Michigan in like how many ever number of days. So,
and this one's at the big condo, right?
The biggest condo.
Oh my God. You guys are going to drive Michigan fans insane. But like,
sorry, Derek.
That does feel like, because Michigan is not, it doesn't appear great this season, but Michigan could absolutely find themselves in a position where they're like, if we win that game, we'll be in the playoff.
Yeah.
I think.
A 10-2 Michigan team that beat Ohio State,
they're going to.
I think they would be in. I don't think they would have, because they have two conference losses. No, they only have one conference loss. If they beat Ohio State, that could be for a spot in the Big Ten title game. And you can say Michigan's not that great. I mean, they are 7-2. Their biggest win is, Washington,
comparatively,
right? Comparatively, for sure. But I think Ohio State is just on a totally separate level. And we've seen that before. We saw that last year We saw that, honestly, the last couple of years where Ohio State was probably the better team, probably the more talented team. And it didn't matter because Michigan just knew what to do, and they got used to, they found ways to win those games.
And then you factor in it's a home game. You factor in that Michigan could look at it and be like, hey, if we win this, we're in the playoff. But you're right. At this point, it does feel like Ohio State's just mowing through people, which is why I really want to see Ohio State against Indiana. How close to Ohio State do you think Indiana is?
I think Indiana's definitely the second best team in the country, but and you could throw an A&M or Alabama in there, but I still think there's a gap between them and Ohio State.
I do not take personal offense.
Ohio State is still allowing basically less than a touchdown a game. They gave up 14 to Penn State last weekend, and that was the second most points they've given up all season in a single game. The most was 16 against Illinois. So I still just think Ohio State might have like 5 of the 10 best players in the sport, and the rest of the roster is still way, way, way up there.
Now, Corey, are you okay if we talk about the Colorado Buffaloes for just a minute?
That's Deion's team.
It is.
Does he want us Shador's to talk about him?
It's so much the Colorado Buffaloes, Deion's team, that he blocked player interviews after the loss. He said the reason was there was no one to blame in this game except for him.
The coach?
Yes. Do you buy that? Do you think it's not, it was a workaround? Because their last two games, they've lost
Probably a workaround.
Okay.
But when Jimmy Johnson said that the players don't get to eat on the airplane,
right?
Like that was he took something from them they liked. Do players like to do interviews after games?
I would guess not after a game like that.
Yeah.
They've been out second in a row where you just are getting, you know, destroyed at halftime.
105-24 is what they've been outscored in these last two games. That's a total of 81 points. They had 14 penalties, 9 in the first half. They turned the ball over 5 times. This feels like it has spiraled out of control for Colorado really quickly.
It has, and that was a lot of the talk going into the season where this is Deion's first year without Travis Hunter and without Shador, and how is he going to adapt to it? And early in the season, he's panic switching at quarterback. They start with Caden Salter. They switch to Staub, the backup. You've got Juju Lewis, I believe is his name, is the 5-star freshman sitting on the bench. You're rotating between all these quarterbacks. Nothing is working. You still can't really run the ball that well. And, of course, the defense has just been the biggest thing in these last couple games. Maybe it's because Bill Belichick has been the bigger story this year that we don't talk about Deion as much.
Hey, but they won.
They did. They finally got a win over a Power 4 team. But it's just that this Colorado team, it clearly hasn't worked out. And I do wonder. I remember Mike saying Bassick when he was here, he doesn't think Deion's going to coach beyond like 2024, 25.
Right.
And we're getting to that point where I just wonder about the health concerns with him, because that's been a lot of things going on with him, is his foot. I believe he's had several other things. He's had to deal with cancer as well in the offseason. And it seems like it'd be an easy time for him to get away, because it just he's not been able to figure it out.
Kevin.
Tell me.
We were talking about Mean Green earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drew Mestemaker has tweeted out that he is excited to announce a new partnership with Portillo's.
Oh.
For Portillo's?
Portillo's.
So, yeah. Not the best Ruben place to Portillo. Fuel up for game days, he says. So congratulations to some Mean Green players getting some of those endorsements.
And
getting the Mean Green. I got you.
This weekend on Fan University, we will talk to Drew Mestemaker.
Nice!
I really liked your interview with Elko.
Thank you.
He was
fun to talk to. Talks very fast. There's no break.
It's straight through.
Kevin, that was very well combed.
Oh, my God. And then Auburn fired their head coach, and Nebraska's quarterback is out for the rest of the year. Always a lot happening. Fan University is when this weekend? And maybe where?
9 to noon. So, I think where it's going to be at the new building is where it's going to be.
Because
we're moving this week. But, yeah, we'll talk to Drew Mestemaker on FanU this weekend. And we're efforting on maybe a couple other local coaches as well. Maybe one coming off a big win over a team from Florida this weekend. This was the first game for Miami that they weren't in the state of Florida, by the way. This is our first true road game.
You told us about that a couple weeks ago.
Yep,
man, that's crazy.
And look what they did. They lost.
They did. All right. Thank you very much, Carter. Check him out on Fan University. In the meantime, we're going to bounce back and do a little bit of baseball nuggets. Can you give me cut number 7, please, Alec? Because it's weird that in a Game 7 of the World Series, the bench is cleared and it's an afterthought.
Jimenez, 2-2. Ah, so he hits it. the plate, says Jimenez. The bench is clear in game seven.
I believe that was in the fourth inning, but it is crazy that there was a bench clearing brawl, or it wasn't really a brawl. The bench is clear, and they just kind of stood around and pushed
Adrian
each other.
Adrian was so confused. She's like, why are they running in from the bullpen right now? And I was like, you know what a bullpen is?
And that's why you were confused.
She was so confused, though. She was like, why are they? And she was like, oh, so now these guys got to run in here and fight, too. And I was like, have you seen a punch thrown? They're not fighting.
Yeah.
They're just defending each other's honor.
Yeah.
Like, that's really what was going on there. He stuck his hand up to get hit in the hand.
And then he said you could visibly hear him say, ow, or like something else.
Like Josh Allen when he slid and almost got and acted like he got hit.
Yeah, that was amazing. But you mentioned it earlier. Amazing. Yamamoto. Let's go ahead and go to cut number eight. Dave Roberts knows how to celebrate right away.
Yamamoto's the GOAT! He's the GOAT! Yama's the GOAT!
Dave Roberts, back-to-back champs.
That was a Yamo chant.
He's saying that, of course, because
in your face, Shohei.
He knows that, like, no matter how many World Series in a row he wins, his job's always on the line. So he's like, I got to give it up to the guy who just saved my job again.
So you should think, but wouldn't you think now, 3 and 6 years, he should be?
I don't think that he. Safe. I think the Dodgers fans are always just like, we're still out on you,
man.
I think that, but here he's done a phenomenal job of managing big time personalities. A lot of money.
Yeah.
That team has a lot of money invested. And he trusted Yamamoto to go out there and do it.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest thing, too, is your pitcher tells you on no day's rest after going. And I guess you did kind of work him for six innings and say, hey, that's good.
But he still threw like 94 pitches.
Yeah. But you know, you had six innings and you're like, we'll save you for if we need you tomorrow. We got this one. And then he goes out. He says, you know what? I'm going to let you go out and do it again. And he did. He delivers.
Now,
it's astounding.
Across the rest of baseball, they handed out the gold gloves last night. The Cubs had a Major League High 3 Gold Glove Award winners for the Texas Rangers. Marcus Semien was named the Gold Glove Award winner at second base. He posted a career high 996 fielding percentage. He had just two errors in 493 total chances. That was the highest mark among all second basemen. He also had 5 defensive runs saved, which is highest in the American League at second base. And he was third with 7 outs above average per Statcast. So a whole lot of incredible numbers for him. He wins the Gold Glove. The Rangers have now had 18 different Gold Glove winners in team history. And they had 4 other finalists, DeGrom, Seager, Wyatt, and Adolis Garcia, who did not win their respective Gold Gloves.
Why not? What's wrong with those voters?
Bias against Adolis. That was the one that I was like, eh.
He was deserved.
Yeah, I agree.
At the plate, not much this year.
Fair.
In the field, he was phenomenal.
Agreed, agreed, agreed.
Did you see the opt-outs numbers, names that have just happened, Kevin?
No.
Edwin Diaz opted out. Oh. Go get Rangers. Alex Bregman.
We're not going to have any money for Alex Bregman. These people.
Opted out. Go get Rangers.
He's not going to.
Cody Bellinger.
He is definitely not going to opted be out. Team.
Don't go get Rangers.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to bring another former Dodger into this with Seager after the Jock Peterson experience.
Yeah, but Seager's not going to be here anymore.
Well, but so I'm saying, like, I just don't want to go through that again at the moment. I don't trust him.
Unfortunately, did you see that the Rangers opted out of Tony Beasley?
I did, dude. That's sad.
We like Tony Beasley a lot. He was the longest tenured member of the Rangers coaching staff. He was with them for 11 years as the third base coach, and now he's not coming back.
He was interim manager after Chris Woodward was relieved of his duties. Chris Woodward, who now has 2 World Series in a row.
Was it wild to see Woody out on the first baseline? Oh, you're like, oh, yeah, he's still a manager.
He's wearing the hat. But, Kevin, what else, when you think of Tony Beasley and those interviews, like he's got this great personality, so positive, great energy, love everything about him.
See?
And worked very diligently with the defense to be a very good defense infield this year. Like, they were a fantastic infield. And Boach gave a lot of credit to Beasley for that, as well as the work that those guys do. But the one thing I think of is every single spring training, when we get into the clubhouse, when Tony Beasley sees us, arms wide open,
yeah,
and says, come here, guys, come give me a hug. He was always so nice to us.
He was.
And I was just like, is this deserved on our part? I don't know. But it was always nice.
And he sang. And
beautiful singing voice.
Yeah, it's disappointing. And in the meantime,
this is part of change.
Sure.
I can't say that I can guarantee it's going to change for the best, but this is part of the change and things, how things are going.
Well, as long as we're talking about part of change, the Houston Astros former hitting coach Alex Cintron might be joining the Rangers as part of their hitting staff. So you're losing Tony Beasley, potentially gaining a former Astros coach. Just wanted to give you a heads up that that might be the way that goes down.
You said maybe.
Maybe.
He emerges as a strong candidate.
Yes. It's not a done deal yet. But
how long has he been with the Astros?
Just keep an eye out.
Oh, no.
Just keep an eye out on that.
Since 2018.
Just keep an eye out on that.
Alex, when did all the bad things happen?
Just plug your ears. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear it.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Oh, yeah, by the way, Scherzer said he's not retiring. He said, quote, I can't see how that's the last pitch I've ever thrown. So look for him to
be back.
He's
the apex competitor.
Well. He really is. Coming up next, it's time for the C-Block starring Cordy Majors.
Let's roll into the hits and misses for the weekend next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.